This morning's text speaks of the first Easter from the 24th chapter of Luke. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down in their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. While they were talking and discussing these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We are anxiously waiting for that. All right, so one of my favorite Easter stories, and I've shared it with you maybe before, is about a preschool class. Preschool teacher was trying to help her, wanted her students to really understand what Easter was, so she'd give them some assignments. You know, they did all kinds of things there in preparation for it. And so one morning, she asked her class, she said, "Okay, now tell me, now what happened on Easter and why was it so important?" And one little girl raised her hand, she goes, "Oh, I know. "Okay, tell us." "Well, Easter is when the whole family gets together and we eat turkey and we talk about the pilgrims." Teacher said, "No, I'm sorry, that's not it." Another student raised her hand and said, "Oh, I know. Easter is when you get a tree and you decorate it and you open gifts and you sing songs." Teacher said, "No, that's not it. Finally, another student spoke up and said, "No, I know. Easter is when Jesus was killed. And they put him in a tomb. And they left him there for 3 days." And the teacher smile came across the face of the teacher because, oh, finally someone understands it. Someone has got it. And so the teacher said to the student, so what happens next?" And the student excitedly said, "Well, you know, after 3 days, everybody gathers at the tomb and they wait to see if Jesus comes out. And if he sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter." Not what the teacher was hoping for or expecting, right? But the truth is, if we're honest, that very first Easter wasn't exactly what the people were expecting either. The women didn't expect the tomb to be empty. The disciples along the road to Emmaus didn't expect the risen Savior to be walking along with them. See, I don't know if you really thought about it, but we tend to tell the Easter story from the ending. About it. We begin with the alleluias, and we begin with the lilies, and we begin with the proclamation that Christ is risen, and it's wonderful, and we should. But the very first Easter, at the dawn of the morning, I will tell you that resurrection didn't feel like victory, at least initially. I think it felt more like confusion and loss. I mean, the women, they show up and the body's not there and they don't know why. And then there's two dudes in all white and, you know, who's expecting that? And they tell, you know, the women, "No, he's not here. He's been risen." But there's still this confusion and this loss and this emptiness. I can remember the first time all three of my girls, they were all off at college at the same time. That was fun, let me tell you, when you got the bills. But they were all off at college at the same time, and our son, who had been left at home because he was the only child at that point, he was gone one evening, and Mindy and my wife Mindy and I, we sat down at the table for supper, and it was like, You know, it's just the two of us. And there was this kind of, at least for me, this feeling of, you know, of emptiness there. You know, and if you are an empty nester, you kind of know what I'm talking about, I bet. I bet it wasn't easy the first days or weeks or maybe months after everybody had left. And I would imagine walking into the home for the first time after the loss of your spouse or your loved one, it would feel even more so. You know, the walls echo, the room feels a little bit bigger. There's this emptiness about it. And I think that's kind of what the tomb felt like, at least initially. There was unexpected emptiness. There was unanswered questions. There was a story that didn't make sense. It didn't immediately feel like victory. But see, here's what Easter, at least when I read the story, what it reminds me of. And that is sometimes God's greatest work begins in a season that feels like loss, right? Sometimes God's greatest work sometimes begins in a season that feels like loss. Think about it, we've all lost something, right? Yesterday, I lost my phone for a while, couldn't find it. Not very comforting, but we've all lost things, you know, things like that, but deeper things. You know, there's the loss we feel when a loved one has passed, or the loss we feel when a relationship maybe has ended, or maybe there's a decline in our health or the health of a family member, or maybe there was a dream that we had that just didn't unfold the way we had hoped. And so we feel the loss. And the temptation is to assume, if it feels empty, that God must not be there. If it feels empty, if there's a loss, well, God must not be there then. And yet Easter, at least it points me back to this, you know, an empty place. It's not the evidence of God's absence. It's actually the first sign of something new, right? The emptiness is not the sign of God's absence or evidence of that. It's just, to me, many times it's just a sign of something new is getting ready to happen. I don't know if you've ever found this maybe outside or garden or somewhere, but you've ever found a caterpillar's cocoon? You know what I'm talking about? I got a picture of it, I think. Yeah. The cocoons look like, you know, a caterpillar spins this cocoon, and the cocoon, eventually that cocoon will be empty. Now, why is it empty? Why? Because a new life has taken form, right? The caterpillar has become what? A butterfly, right? A beautiful butterfly. But let me tell you, the emptiness of the cocoon is not evidence of something that has failed. It's just the first sign of something new, isn't it? Think about it. The cocoon, an empty cocoon, is the first sign of something new. And to me, that's a great image of the tomb. Initially, to the women, it felt like loss. I mean, Jesus is not there. The body's not there. This tomb is empty, and it looks like death has won. But actually, the empty tomb points to something new. Resurrection. Miracle. Here's what I want us to understand, and that is, at least again for me, Easter points us to that sometimes God's most powerful work is not done by adding more, but actually by removing that which can't give us life. It's not about adding more, it's about removing that which doesn't give us life. Let me tell you what I mean. So most of us, I think, believe, okay, hey, if I'm empty, God's going to fill me up. Or that's our prayer. Fill me up. All right? We sing the hymn. You know the hymn? Fill my cup, Lord. Right? How's it go? I lift it up, Lord. Yeah, there you go. Y'all sing it. Not me. But why do we sing that? Because when we're empty, we want God to fill us up. If something is broken, we want God to fix it. If we lose something, we want God to replace it or to help us at least find it. We expect addition, and yet Easter points us to the opposite. Because God doesn't fill the tomb. What did God do? God emptied the tomb. Right? The tomb held a body, but it could not hold life. And so the tomb is actually the evidence of death being emptied of its power, pointing us back to that which gives us life, the resurrection. Kind of like a gardener that's pruning a plant, right? You prune a plant, you cut the branches back, whatever, your leaves are removed, and it can look like loss. If you've ever seen a plant that's been pruned, it can look like that plant's dead. That bush, whatever, tree, and it can look like it's, you know, it looks like loss. But see, the gardener knows something that the plant doesn't, or the bush doesn't, or the tree doesn't, and that is, you know, sometimes you got to remove that which is not going to give us life so that new life can come. Again, Easter reminds us that God's most powerful work happens not by adding more. Sometimes it's by removing that which doesn't give us life. Problem is, we don't always trust that, though, do we? We don't always see God doing the new thing. Especially when it feels empty, especially when it feels like loss. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, okay, they were struggling with this. Luke tells us on the same day, two of them, meaning they were followers of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And so they, you know, they're talking about what they had seen, what they experienced, you know, what had happened to Jesus. They had heard the reports, though. They had heard that this tomb was empty. But instead of running toward hope, what are they doing? They're walking away from it. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from the place, very place that God had done a new thing. And why? Because they were struggling with the emptiness and the loss, just like the women were when they went to the tomb. You know, the late New Testament commentator William Barclay, he wrote lots of good commentaries. He spoke about this account, and he said this, I always liked it. He said, you know, talking about the two on the road to Emmaus, that their faces were twisted with grief. Faces twisted with grief. Probably their, not just their faces, their hearts were also twisted with grief. Is your heart ever twisted with grief? If it hasn't, I think it will. Okay, we're all going to take a journey on which our faces and our hearts are going to be twisted with grief. For some, it is. We're on our journey to Emmaus. Why? Because our loved one, our spouse, our mom, our dad, our child, what, they're no longer with us. Or we're walking away from the doctor's office and we've just received a diagnosis that we weren't prepared for. And so our hearts and our faces are twisted with grief. Or we find ourselves in an unemployment line and our hearts and faces are twisted with grief. Or, you know, maybe our child, we try to instill values and certain character traits with them and they are far from that. And we wonder whose child that is. And so our hearts and our faces are twisted with grief. All of us at some point. We'll wrestle with that, struggle with that, just like the women at the tomb, just like these two on the road to Emmaus. But it's along that road that something happens, right? A stranger joins them. Luke says, while they were talking and discussing these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And so here we are. Jesus is actually alive. He's present. He's with them. They just don't know it yet. Now, many of you know that I went to undergraduate up in Boone at a place called App State. I'm waiting for my peeps to say something, right? There you go. I know there's some App State folks here. All right. Well, if you've ever been to Boone, if you've ever been to the mountains, there are times where it can be so foggy or, you know, the clouds just settle into the valleys, right? Just settle up there. And in Boone, we have Howard's Knob that overlooks the town there. And it can get so foggy there that you can't even see Howard's Knob. And it's even worse when you're trying to drive in it, right? You're driving and you can't see anything in front of you. Right, and you know your lights don't help, all that, and you're squinting, and you know there's a road there somewhere. You just hope that you don't go off the edge of the mountain before you see the turn. That's the way it is. But the road is there; it didn't go anywhere. And more likely than not, there's someone else on that road with you, and you're just hoping you don't run into them. But they're there too. You just don't see them. And I kind of think that's, I think about that, and I think about these two on the road to Emmaus, and I think it was, at least for them, initially it was like they were in a fog. Jesus is with them, but they just can't see him yet. Like the women, you know, they're reeling from the confusion and the loss and the emptiness. And yet that's exactly where Jesus is, right in the middle of it. Because that's what Easter reminds us, points us to, that God is right beside us even when we don't see him, even when we don't recognize him. Early in my ministry, I was going through a really difficult time and struggling and really wondering if, you know, do I really want to stay, do this for the rest of my life? Do I really want to, you know, stay in the local church? And it was a time really twisted with grief. I was mad at God, all kinds of things. And totally out of the blue, a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, we weren't buddies or anything like that. We'd gone to seminary down in Georgia at Emory University, which, by the way, is actually playing for a national championship in basketball. I told all my peeps they didn't like that. I'm the only one that can brag a little bit there. And guess when they're playing that game? Today, so I can't go, of course. Everything's always on the day that I can't do it. Gold medal game, can't watch dad, can't do that. Anyway, my colleague, friend of mine, we'd gone to seminary. I was not in a good place. And one day my phone rings, and guess what? It's Jeff on the other end. He said, "Hey, man, I heard you were going through a tough time." He said, "Just hang in there, and it'll all work out." And I hadn't talked to him in probably in months. And here it is. Jeff calls me out of the blue. And I can tell you, from that phone call, though, my heart began to lift. The fog began to lift that I was in. And I look back now and I see, oh, that was Christ walking with me. Yeah. Because many times we experience Christ through our friends or through the stranger. We just don't always recognize. But he's there all the while. And Luke tells us in verse 28, it says that as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. I love it. It says that Jesus acted like he was going farther. You know, he's like, "Okay, I'm going on. Just wondering." And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I have a feeling he's hoping that they're going to remember. That they're going to remember what he had taught them and told them. And that is, what do you do? You welcome the stranger. You feed the hungry. You visit this, you know, those in prison that take care of the sick. You do all of those things. So I think, you know, it says he's acting like he's hoping that they're going to remember. And what do? Exactly what he had taught them to do, and that was to welcome him, to invite him to stay with him. And I have a feeling as soon as that invitation went out, this big smile went across Jesus' face. Yeah, they got it. They remembered. Because whenever you do it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me. Because if they had not invited him to stay, they would have missed what? They would have missed the risen Christ. They would have missed that experience. They may have remained in that fog for who knows how long. But see, I think that's how it works. That's how it works many times. It's why I love to hear the stories of when people, then they go and they serve. You know, when they go to places like maybe the mountains of Appalachia or this summer down to the coast in Wilmington to help make people's homes warmer, safer, and drier. Or when they're helping to build stoves in Guatemala serving a meal at the men's shelter at the Center of Hope or going to Eastway Middle School and volunteering or mentoring or a whole host of other ways. I love to hear the stories. Why? Because when I hear the stories, what I hear also is how they experience Christ in the middle of it, in the midst of it. Because that's how God works. These two here in Luke, they welcome the stranger, and what happens? says, when he was at the table with them, meaning Jesus, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. It really shouldn't surprise us. Throughout this whole Lenten season, if you've been with us, we've been looking at all the times when Jesus gathered around the table and broke bread with people, and how it was at the table that that grace was extended and identities were restored and brokenness was made whole again, and where everyone was made to feel welcome at the table. And in all those encounters, they all experienced Christ. Just as these two did on the road to Emmaus, when they invited Jesus and they served him and he broke the bread and they recognized him. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus meets us in the middle of the emptiness or the loss or the confusion or the brokenness or the fear, because that's where some of God's greatest work begins. It's there that God removes that which doesn't give us life so that he can give us life. It's there in the middle of whatever we're going through where he is, even though we may not recognize him. You know, I think back to that preschool classroom. So the student thought that Easter was all about Jesus coming out of the tomb and checking his shadow to see what might happen next. And we chuckle because we know that's not how the story goes. But here's the thing, there's actually a lot of truth to that. Because I think there are times when we are standing at our own tombs. And we're waiting to see what's going to happen next. And we're waiting to see if the fog will lift, if the heaviness will pass, if the hope will return. We quietly wonder, you know, is this all there is? And yet Easter is why I need Easter. It's because it reminds us that there is so, so much more. That Jesus didn't step out of the tomb to give us a forecast. He didn't step out of the tomb to say, hey, we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. No, he stepped out of the tomb to give us a future. Not to say, hey, darkness is going to continue. He stepped out of the tomb to remind us that, you know what? The loss, the brokenness, the fear, the confusion, the fog, the emptiness doesn't have the final word. See, the empty tomb isn't about something missing. It's about something new. Because the same Jesus who walked out of the tomb is the same Jesus who walks beside each one of us, whether we recognize him or not. See, the women at the tomb, the men on the road, yeah, it felt initially like a loss. It didn't feel like victory, right? But I will say, thank goodness that tomb was empty. Because the tomb was empty, the fog did lift. And there were hallelujahs, and there were amens. And because that tomb is empty, Christ is risen. Exactly. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the Christian church has proclaimed that. And the tradition was just like at the tomb. You know, I think there was some uncertainty about it because they would start kind of soft. Christ is risen. And the response would come back the same way, a little bit soft. And then it would be repeated and it would get a little bit louder. Christ is risen. And then it would be like the fog is lifting and it's like, yes! And so at the top of their lungs, they would say, Christ is risen!
He is risen.
Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Risen Christ, we come to you today. We come from lots of different places. Some of us, we come with joy. Some of us, we're carrying quiet burdens. Some of us are standing in places that feel very empty. And yet you meet us. All the same, wherever we are, in the confusion and the loss and the unknown, in the joy on the mountaintops and in the valleys, you are there beside us. And so, Lord, when we can't see you clearly, help us to trust you. When the weight of whatever it is seems to have been taken over, remind us that you are there. Give us hope, O Lord. When we are tempted to believe that the story is over, remind us you are still writing that. Because the worst thing is never the last thing. And so open our eyes as you did for those on the road to Emmaus, so that we might recognize you even in the most ordinary of moments. Help us to trust you even now. When we don't have an answer, we don't understand that you are bringing about new life because the tomb was indeed empty. Death was defeated. And you are risen. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.